Our first reading today is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
John chapter 10, 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Preaching on a passage as familiar as Psalm 23 is in many respects fraught with difficulties, because so many of you know it so well, you start thinking, what can I say that's new about this? And then when we added into that little mix the realization last week that Nicola Neal had preached on Psalm 23 at New Wine United Breaks Out, and many of you will have watched that, I did go, do we need to change the series? But then I thought, actually, there is so much to be said, and it is such a good passage to reflect on that it was worth carrying on. So before I go any further, let's pray. Father God, as I thank you for the richness of your word, and I thank you for the richness of this passage, I pray that you would come by your spirit, that you would inspire what I'm saying, that the preparation I've done, you would bring to life, you would inhabit it with your spirit, that as we listen, we might not just hear some thoughts from me, but might meet with you, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what images come to mind when you think about sheep and shepherds? I confess the first place that I go to, because I've been reading the book recently with my daughters, is Dick Kingsmith's The Sheep Pig, which is something that more famously became the film Babe. Many of you will actually know about it. And the premise of that is a piglet that is brought up by a dog, by a sheepdog, and learns how to be a sheepdog, but actually learns how to do it in a very different way. The sheepdogs harangue and harass the sheep, whereas Babe the pig realises that actually the way to get the sheep to do what it is they need to do for their own welfare and safety is actually to treat them with respect and with care, and gets them to do what they need. And that is very relevant to this passage. This psalm is about sheep. It's about shepherds. It's about God as our shepherd, us as our sheep. And my understanding of the psalm has been helped by reading and understanding a bit more about ancient Middle Eastern shepherding techniques, about making the sheep secure, about that being different from how what we might think of how a shepherd would operate in our culture and our context. So it is about sheep and shepherds. But actually within that, there are different moods and different themes. I think for verses 1 to 3, the language is almost about the shepherd being the servant, almost the holiday rep, if I can use that language, our guide. And then you move on to verses 4 and 5, and we hear about him being the bodyguard or the protector. And then in verses 5 and 6 speak about security in the midst of turmoil. So I want to look at those three sections as I go through this morning. The first is thinking about the shepherd as our guide. I had a friend who, when he was growing up, the old translation of verse 1 said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he remember thinking, why would I not want that? Isn't that a good thing? And thankfully, our modern translations tend to say things like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He meets my needs." And what are a sheep's needs? The sheep has two primary needs. The sheep needs grass and the sheep needs water. So grassy green pasture is actually really important. And we read in this passage about the sheep lying down. Now, apparently, I'm told, sheep will not lie down if they're hungry. They won't lie down if they're being annoyed by things around, like flies and stuff. And they won't lie down if they're afraid, if they think they might be in danger. So it's a great picture of peace, the sheep lying down in a green pasture. So what might that mean for us, with the Lord being our shepherd? It means that he will meet our needs. Irritations can take their place and fears can be stilled. The other thing that sheep won't do is they won't drink from running water. So to be beside quiet waters, still waters, is really important. Don't ask me why they won't drink from running water, whether it's that they don't like getting their noses wet or it's splashing, or I really don't know, or whether it's because of the noise and they want to know what's going on. But apparently I am told that is the case. So stillness, again, an image of peace for you and for me. And we read that the shepherd guides the sheep along the right paths. On mountain passes, the sheep need to know where safe. And remember, the shepherd isn't forcing them from behind in this image. The shepherd is going ahead and leading from the front. That's how a Middle Eastern shepherd would have gone. I'm reminded of a particular holiday I went on years ago. We had a villa in Spain. And I remember meeting the owner or the agent or whatever in this cafe bar in the village. And then he led us to where this villa was. Goodness me, it was a dirt track hanging on the side of some steep, winding roads that left me somewhat nervous. Driving this car that I only just picked up from the airport then, steering wheel on the wrong side, gear stick on the wrong side, all that. I was very grateful for a guide ahead of me showing me the way along that particular difficult path. Don't we want someone, when the path is difficult, to be guiding and showing us the way? And note that he leads us for his name's sake. He's the one who knows the right path. He's the one who knows the terrain, and he knows the best way to go. And he's on our side. We can trust him. It does remind me of another story. At one stage in my business career, I travelled abroad a fair amount, and I was in Cairo for a few days. I was only there for a few days. And I thought, I'm not coming to Cairo and not going to visit the pyramids. So with a colleague of mine, we got up in the middle of the night, way before dawn, and got a taxi over to Giza to see the pyramids, which was great because we got to see actually the sunrise, I think, over the pyramids, which was very ethereal before the tourists had arrived and stuff. But all the sellers and those who kind of made their business in the tourist industry were just starting to arrive when we were there. And fools that we were, we thought, oh, he's offering us a camel ride. Let's go on a camel ride. And so the two of us, dressed in business suits, went on this camel ride around the pyramids, which again was a surreal experience. And they let my friend down. And then he was then starting to haggle about the price. Meanwhile, my camel just carried on walking. And it almost felt a little bit like haggling about the price, bartering about the price with my friend. And it was a little bit as if he was saying, you come up with the right price or you'll never see your friend again. As if that camel was trained just to keep on walking and walking and walking. The funny thing about that is both my friend and I spoke German. And so he came to me when he realised he'd already paid and he wanted me to know how much money he'd given. He said, ich habe ihm schon 20 gegeben, which means I've already given him, I think it was 20 Egyptian pounds. At which point the seller said, ah, Sie sprechen Deutsch, oh, you speak German. There's another story in there about knowing the voice, but maybe that's for another day. When I've been in unfamiliar places, I've always been grateful for people who know what they're doing and are on my side, not necessarily like that camel trainer. A bit like you might call it heavenly sat-nav, who will guide me, in whom we can trust. The Lord is my shepherd. He will guide me. But also, it talks here about valleys. It talks here about moving on, God being our protector, the shepherd being the protector. You know, valleys, maybe you think of valleys as being pretty. But valleys can also be dark places, you know, where the sun doesn't shine, where you can't see very far, where there's danger on both sides, where it's a bit scary. It might be like the shadow of death. And that shadow can be literal, or it can be just tough situations. That death can be literal death or tough situations that we face, where death or despair hangs over us. Just remember, if there's a shadow, that means there's light in the vicinity. He walks with us. And there are places that we don't stay stuck in. We don't stand still in. It says we walk through. There's movement. We walk and we're going through because we're going out to the other end. In the seminar I did at New Wine last week, I talked about that fact that we don't stay in that place of pain or grief. We walk through it. And know what it is we get comfort from. A staff, a stick is what gives us comfort. A stick that's got a crook on the end of it, a bit on the end of it to fetch us back when we've strayed. And actually to give us a kick up the backside, because that is love. Hebrews 12:6, quoting the Proverbs, says that God loves. God disciplines the one he loves. And sometimes that is a crook to yank us back or a stick to give us a kick up the backside. It might not be your idea of comfort, but it's probably important comfort. And remember, we are part of a flock. We're part of a flock. Sheep are not designed to wander on their own. Some of you watching today are watching this on your own. Are you doing it because you're isolated and you don't want to be? Or are you just kind of keeping a safe distance? You'd rather be on your own. It's not the norm for how we're called to be as followers of Jesus. That lovely testimony we heard earlier in the service reminded us of that. Being on our own is not the norm. But if we talked about the idea of the guide, the idea of the protector, there's also this idea of security, peace amidst turmoil. I was reading something recently, which for me was a fascinating insight into verse 5, which says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." Apparently, when sheep come back to eat, they bring all their ticks and parasites and nasty things like that. I hope no one's eating at the moment, which then fall on the ground all around the sheep. And if food is scattered on the ground, then those ticks and those parasites get eaten up by the others and the disease spreads. So Middle Eastern shepherds would actually put the sheep's food on a raised bit of rock. A table, in effect. Enemies in here are those disease-carrying parasites. They're there, but the table is set before them. You know, for hygiene purposes, we try to use social distancing. They use a table. And the oil, anointing his head with oil, is about the oil that keeps those disease-bringing flies off. So it's about protection. It's about, you know, anti-fly spray, if you like. Again, in terms of, we use hand gel now. Quite rightly, they use oil. And what are our enemies? Not the ticks and parasites that the sheep have, the idols that we allow ourselves to worship, the fears that grip us, the uncertainties, the health issues that we face, distractions. They're all around us. They're scattered around our feet, clawing for our attention. But if we're in the presence of the shepherd, we don't have to succumb to attack. We can know goodness, love, mercy, for this life and forever. Which brings me very briefly to the passage from John's Gospel that we heard, which reminds us that as the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd," Jesus takes that upon himself. And he is the good shepherd. And like the bodyguard, like the protector, he takes the bullet. He lays down his life for us, the sheep. So are you willing to be a sheep? That sounds quite negative in our language, but it's not. It's a positive image. It's one who gets protection from the shepherd, from the good shepherd, the one who is caring and loving. Again, like Babe in that film, in that book, he's the sheepdog who cares rather than just tries to frighten the sheep. He's the one who brings guidance. He's the one who brings peace. He's the one who calls us to follow him, to listen to his voice, to recognise it and come to love it. I hadn't realised until I'd actually put this together that my 3 points, as I talked about the shepherd being a guide, a protector and a bringer of security, actually spell GPS. I actually hadn't realised that. If we're lost, we need to know. The global positioning system helps us know exactly where we are. If we're lost in life, we need to know the good shepherd who will lead us to eternal life, having laid down his own life for us. And that passage in John also reminds us that there are lots of other sheep. We know, many of us, the parable when Jesus talks about the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes to get the one. There are 300 of us, maybe-ish, part of the regular Christ the King fellowship. On the estate on which we live, never mind the rest of the town and beyond, there are 6,000 or 7,000 people. So relatively, we are the 5%, and it's 95 who are lost. We are the 5. The 95 are lost. Surely our call is to work with Jesus in his quest to bring in the other 95. We know it's the place to be, don't we? At least I hope you do. If you don't, maybe this is the opportunity to become part of his flock. We know it's the place to be, in the flock of the good shepherd. We can be there now and forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Good morning. Preaching on a passage as familiar as Psalm 23 is, in many respects, fraught with difficulties, because so many of you know it so well, you start thinking, what can I say that's new about this? And then when we added into that little mix the realisation last week that Nicola Neal had preached on Psalm 23 at New Wine United Breaks Out, and many of you will have watched that, I did go, do we need to change the series? But then I thought, actually, there is so much to be said, and it is such a good passage to reflect on that it was worth carrying on. So before I go any further, let's pray. Father God, as I thank you for the richness of your word, and I thank you for the richness of this passage, I pray that you would come by your spirit, that you would inspire what I'm saying, that the preparation I've done, you would bring to life, you would inhabit it with your spirit, that as we listen, we might not just hear some thoughts from me, but might meet with you. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what images come to mind when you think about sheep and shepherds? I confess the first place that I go to, because I've been reading the book recently with my daughters, is Dick Kingsmith's The Sheep Pig, which is something that more famously became the film Babe. Many of you will actually know about it. And the premise of that is a piglet that is brought up by a dog, by a sheepdog, and learns how to be a sheepdog, but actually learns how to do it in a very different way. The sheepdogs harangue and harass the sheep, whereas Babe the pig realises that actually the way to get the sheep to do what it is they need to do for their own welfare and safety is actually to treat them with respect and with care, and gets them to do what they need. And that is very relevant to this passage. This psalm is about sheep. It's about shepherds. It's about God as our shepherd, us as our sheep. And my understanding of the psalm has been helped by reading and understanding a bit more about ancient Middle Eastern shepherding techniques, about making the sheep secure, about that being different from how what we might think of how a shepherd would operate in our culture and our context. So it is about sheep and shepherds. But actually within that, there are different moods and different themes. I think for verses 1 to 3, the language is almost about the shepherd being the servant, almost the holiday rep, if I can use that language, our guide. And then you move on to verses 4 and 5, and we hear about him being the bodyguard or the protector. And then in verses 5 and 6 speak about security in the midst of turmoil. So I want to look at those three sections as I go through this morning. The first is thinking about the shepherd as our guide. I had a friend who, when he was growing up, the old translation of verse 1 said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he remember thinking, why would I not want that? Isn't that a good thing? And thankfully, our modern translations tend to say things like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He meets my needs." And what are a sheep's needs? The sheep has two primary needs. The sheep needs grass and the sheep needs water. So grassy green pasture is actually really important. And we read in this passage about the sheep lying down. Now, apparently, I'm told, sheep will not lie down if they're hungry. They won't lie down if they're being annoyed by things around, like flies and stuff. And they won't lie down if they're afraid, if they think they might be in danger. So it's a great picture of peace, the sheep lying down in a green pasture. So what might that mean for us? with the Lord being our shepherd. It means that he will meet our needs. Irritations can take their place. And fears can be stilled. The other thing that sheep won't do is they won't drink from running water. So to be beside quiet waters, still waters, is really important. Don't ask me why they won't drink from running water, whether it's that they don't like getting their noses wet or it's splashing, or I really don't know, or whether it's because of the noise and they want to know what's going on. But apparently I am told that is the case. So stillness, again, an image of peace for you and for me. And we read that the shepherd guides the sheep along the right paths. On mountain passes, the sheep need to know where safe. And remember, the shepherd isn't forcing them from behind in this image. The shepherd is going ahead and leading from the front. That's how a Middle Eastern shepherd would have gone. I'm reminded of a particular holiday I went on years ago. We had a villa in Spain. And I remember meeting the owner or the agent or whatever in this cafe bar in the village. And then he led us to where this villa was. Goodness me, it was a dirt track hanging on the side of some steep, winding roads that left me somewhat nervous. Driving this car that I only just picked up from the airport then, steering wheel on the wrong side, gear stick on the wrong side, all that. I was very grateful for a guide ahead of me showing me the way along that particular difficult path. Don't we want someone when the path is difficult to be guiding and showing us the way? And note that he leads us for his name's sake. He's the one who knows the right path. He's the one who knows the terrain, and he knows the best way to go. And he's on our side. We can trust him. It does remind me of another story. At one stage in my business career, I traveled abroad a fair amount, and I was in Cairo for a few days. I was only there for a few days. And I thought, I'm not coming to Cairo and not going to visit the pyramids. So with a colleague of mine, we got up in the middle of the night, way before dawn, and got a taxi over to Giza to see the pyramids, which was great because we got to see actually the sunrise, I think, over the pyramids, which was very ethereal before the tourists had arrived and stuff. But all the sellers and those who kind of made their business in the tourist industry were just starting to arrive when we were there. And fools that we were, we thought, oh, he's offering us a camel ride. Let's go on a camel ride. And so the two of us, dressed in business suits, went on this camel ride around the pyramids, which again was a surreal experience. And they let my friend down. And then he was then starting to haggle about the price. Meanwhile, my camel just carried on walking. And it almost felt a little bit like haggling about the price, bartering about the price with my friend. And it was a little bit as if he was saying, you come up with the right price or you'll never see your friend again. As if that camel was trained just to keep on walking and walking and walking. The funny thing about that is both my friend and I spoke German. And so he came to me when he realised he'd already paid and he wanted me to know how much money he'd given. He said, ich habe ihm schon 20 gegeben, which means I've already given him, I think it was 20 Egyptian pounds. At which point the seller said, ah, sie sprechen Deutsch, oh, you speak German. There's another story in there about knowing the voice, but maybe that's for another day. When I've been in unfamiliar places, I've always been grateful for people who know what they're doing and are on my side, not necessarily like that camel trainer. A bit like you might call it heavenly sat-nav, who will guide me, in whom we can trust. The Lord is my shepherd. He will guide me. But also, it talks here about valleys. It talks here about moving on, God being our protector, the shepherd being the protector. You know, valleys, maybe you think of valleys as being pretty, but valleys can also be dark places, you know, where the sun doesn't shine, where you can't see very far, where there's danger on both sides, where it's a bit scary. It might be like the shadow of death. And that shadow can be literal, or it can be just tough situations. That death can be literal death or tough situations that we face where death or despair hangs over us. Just remember, if there's a shadow, that means there's light in the vicinity. He walks with us. And there are places that we don't stay stuck in. We don't stand still in. It says we walk through. There's movement. We walk and we're going through because we're going out to the other end. In the seminar I did at New Wine last week, I talked about that fact that we don't stay in that place of pain or grief. We walk through it. And know what it is we get comfort from. A staff, a stick is what gives us comfort. A stick that's got a crook on the end of it, a bit on the end of it to fetch us back when we've strayed. and actually to give us a kick up the backside, because that is love. Hebrews 12:6, quoting the Proverbs, says that God loves, God disciplines the one he loves. And sometimes that is a crook to yank us back, or a stick to give us a kick up the backside. It might not be your idea of comfort, but it's probably important comfort. And remember, we are part of a flock. We're part of a flock. Sheep are not designed to wander on their own. Some of you watching today are watching this on your own. Are you doing it because you're isolated and you don't want to be? Or are you just kind of keeping a safe distance? You'd rather be on your own? It's not the norm for how we're called to be as followers of Jesus. That lovely testimony we heard earlier in the service reminded us of that. Being on our own is not the norm. But if we talked about the idea of the guide, the idea of the protector, there's also this idea of security, peace amidst turmoil. I was reading something recently, which for me was a fascinating insight into verse 5, which says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." Apparently, when sheep come back to eat, they bring all their ticks and parasites and nasty things like that. I hope no one's eating at the moment, which then fall on the ground all around the sheep. And if food is scattered on the ground, then those ticks and those parasites get eaten up by the others and the disease spreads. So Middle Eastern shepherds would actually put the sheep's food on a raised bit of rock, a table in effect. Enemies in here are those disease carrying parasites. They're there, but the table is set before them. You know, for hygiene purposes, we try to use social distancing. They use a table. And the oil, anointing his head with oil, is about the oil that keeps those disease-bringing flies off. So it's about protection. It's about, you know, anti-fly spray, if you like. Again, in terms of, we use hand gel now, quite rightly. They use oil. And what are our enemies? Not the ticks and parasites that the sheep have. The idols that we allow ourselves to worship. The fears that grip us. The uncertainties. The health issues that we face. Distractions. They're all around us. They're scattered around our feet, clawing for our attention. But if we're in the presence of the shepherd, we don't have to succumb to attack. We can know goodness, love, mercy for this life and forever. Which brings me very briefly to the passage from John's Gospel that we heard, which reminds us that as the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd," Jesus takes that upon himself. And he is the good shepherd. And like the bodyguard, like the protector, he takes the bullet. He lays down his life for us, the sheep. So are you willing to be a sheep? That sounds quite negative in our language, but it's not. It's a positive image. It's one who gets protection from the shepherd, from the good shepherd, the one who is caring and loving. Again, like Babe in that film, in that book, he's the sheepdog who cares rather than just tries to frighten the sheep. He's the one who brings guidance. He's the one who brings peace. He's the one who calls us to follow him, to listen to his voice, to recognize it and come to love it. I hadn't realized until I'd actually put this together that my 3 points, as I talked about the shepherd being a guide, a protector and a bringer of security, actually spell GPS. I actually hadn't realised that. If we're lost, we need to know. The global positioning system helps us know exactly where we are. If we're lost in life, we need to know the good shepherd who will lead us to eternal life, having laid down his own life for us. And that passage in John also reminds us that there are lots of other sheep. We know, many of us, the parable when Jesus talks about the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes to get the one. There are 300 of us, maybe-ish, part of the regular Christ the King fellowship. On the estate on which we live, never mind the rest of the town and beyond, there are 6,000 or 7,000 people. So relatively, we are the 5%, and it's 95 who are lost. We're the 5. The 95 are lost. Surely our call is to work with Jesus in his quest to bring in the other 95. We know it's the place to be, don't we? At least I hope you do. If you don't, maybe this is the opportunity to become part of his flock. We know it's the place to be, in the flock of the good shepherd. We can be there now and forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing.